Welcome to the Shared Desk. All the twos, 22. Again.
Yeah. This is why we are 2012 Parsec nominees,
yeah,
and not 2013, because we suck. Hey, everybody. It is time once again for the Shared Desk. I am your host, T. Morris.
What a cutie. Hot piece of old man ass.
And sitting across from me,
I'm scared. Pip Ballantyne.
I'm so looking forward to seeing your mother again. When I'm with her, I'm reminded of the virtues of the English.
But isn't she American?
Exactly.
Always go for Maggie Smith. Hey! We got a guest in studio!
Yay! What?
Who is the guest here today?
KT Brisky.
Times like this, I wish it was a video podcast.
You got some moves, Morris.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, not bad. So,
and if you were a backer of the Kickstarter, you would have seen your moves.
That's true. That's true. So let's just really quickly, let's jump into the Wayback Machine just a little bit, and let's talk about real quick.
So what's been happening in the last 3 months?
Yeah,
let's go.
Exactly. Go.
5 minutes.
Yeah. So there was a Kickstarter, a very successful Kickstarter. We were very happy with that Kickstarter. And
so there's going to be a role-playing game, and there's going to be an anthology, and there's going to be cover art by Alex White. It's
going
to be awesome.
Yeah. For those of you who backed the Kickstarter, you're going to get to see some sneak previews.
Oh, and thank you.
And thank you. Yeah, thank you for that. We also finished the first round of Dawn's Early Light.
Edits.
We're going to
destroyed some more of America.
Yeah, it was basically watch it, Canada.
We didn't go far north enough, Katie. Too,
but we did get to Detroit. Yeah,
which is close.
You probably would have been able to see the destruction from Canada.
From Windsor if you just looked across. You'd
Bingo.
See the,
yeah,
the column of smoke.
Oh, look, the ministry's in town.
Yeah. So yeah, we didn't finish all of the edits this time around because we've also been very busy. You penned something for Pyre.
Yes, I did a short story that's going to be a giveaway for when Kindred of Wings comes out, which should be at the end of beginning of July, which maybe we'll have another Shared Desk by then. I don't know.
We're trying so hard to, I mean, we just get very easily distracted.
Suddenly, there was a terrible roar all around us, and the sky was full of what looked like huge bats, all swooping and screeching and diving around the car.
We're in backcountry.
We're in backcountry.
You've got to see
poor
that
bastard.
Have you seen that movie, Katie?
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Oh, man. It's Johnny Depp is crazy.
Depp. Yeah.
It's his craziest.
I mean, people talk about how goofy Johnny Depp is in, well,
everything.
In everything.
They're actually busting on a movie that hasn't even opened yet. They're busting on Depp just going completely over the top. And I'm like, look, if you want to see Depp at his utter craziest, but focused kind of crazy, you got to get Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. He's absolutely off the hook in that. It's just great, great thing. Then we wrote another short story. We wrote a short story that Ace is going to be selling as a.
I think it'll be around Christmas from what I hear.
It's going to be called Silver Linings.
Wellington and Eliza go to Cairo.
They go to Cairo
and meet some camels.
Yep, meet some steampunked up camels. Found the rocket launcher. And he's going
to. I learned more about camels than I ever really wanted
I
to know.
Bet you did.
I'm sure.
Yes. Now is that what we done? Yeah.
And then of course we
went to a couple of conventions.
I started job hunting again.
Yay.
And we'll talk about the project I've just undertaken a little later. Katie, what about you? You've had a pretty busy weekend here at Casa de Morris.
I did. I finished my novel.
Woot!
Yes, at our kitchen table. One day we'll be able to sell it, T. Say, here is where it was finished, right here.
That's how Dad did it. That's how America does it. And it's worked out pretty well so far.
There you go.
Don't you mean Canada?
I do. I do mean Canada, yeah.
Alas, American-Americans.
America Light, as we like to call it. So.
Sure. Anyway, yeah, I finished the prequel to Hapix, which is my first fantasy novel.
When did that come out?
Excuse me. That is the award-nominated Hapix.
Yes,
have I got your attention now?
So there you go.
Yes, and I did check. Actually, we were upstairs. And
that's
great. It was shortlisted.
So it is shortlisted.
Yes.
Is it shortlisted under fantasy?
Yes.
Fantastic. Fantastic. That's Forward Magazine,
and
by the way.
And when did it come out?
It came out last October.
With who?
Dragon Moon Press.
Woot!
Woot!
Dragon Moon alumni all in one room.
Yes.
It's kind of cool. Kind of cool.
Busting with
cool.
Awesome. So you've been working on that. We've been working on... What other weird stuff have we been working on?
That's pretty much it.
I have something.
Oh, yes, you have.
And
oh, yeah, something happened to her.
I graduated university.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah!
And you did the walk.
Yeah. Yes, I did the walk.
Did the long walk.
Got to put on the funny robes and...
Stuff.
Do the John Cleese funny walk.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So good on you. It was and you came down here for a couple of days.
Oh, you went to BalticCon.
I went to BalticCon. Yeah, you went too.
Yeah, that was your first BalticCon.
It was.
What did you think of BalticCon?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
My question, are you going to come back?
Yes.
There you go.
So wait.
I'm going to play that bumper one more time.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah!
It's a good time, BalticCon. That was one of the places we went. We went up in the ether. We also had the Frederick Book Festival.
We did a lot of stuff.
We did a lot of stuff.
I mean, it's been a few months, so we did the Manassas Railway Festival.
The Manassas Railway Festival. We're doing another railway festival. But at the same time that you were doing BalticCon, we were doing Up in the Ether.
Which was a fun time in Detroit.
In Detroit.
And they took good care of us.
Took real good care of us.
Dr. Midnight was hilarious. We like Dr. Midnight. I have still worked... He has not told me whether he's actually British.
He is an enigma wrapped in a secret.
Smothered in secret
special sauce. And he is,
And we hung out with, we got to see Dr. Q again.
Dr. Q.
We got to meet, I got to meet Elizabeth Baer, who turned out to be an awesome person.
Scott Lynch. Good people, Scott Lynch.
Elizabeth is going to be the guest of honor at RavenCon next year. So we're going to RavenCon.
Oh, dang. Yeah.
That's a reason to go to RavenCon.
That is a reason to go to RavenCon. And it's also close.
It's also close.
And yeah, it'll be good times in Richmond.
It's always nice when you meet fellow writers.
And you've actually broken bread with my family now. So if you want to come down for RavenCon in April, you've got a place to stay at Casa de Elder Morris.
Yes.
So there you go. There you go. And that just brings us up to...
Are we up to speed now?
I guess we're up to speed.
Kind of?
Yeah. It was a crazy, crazy time. We've promised... I'm not going to promise it. I mean, we'd like to get the shared desk back on track, but it just feels
like... We're going to try. Hey, we got one. If we get this one up, it's more than we've had in the last few months.
Absolutely.
Why don't we talk about quickly about what new projects we're doing?
Well, that actually goes into this subject. That's because we saved that for the end of the show, remember?
Okay. Really? It's been too long. Look into my dim, dark memories.
Yeah, we're talking about the comfort zone. We're talking about stretching out beyond comfort zones.
Oh, yes. Well, this might be in here.
So,
as well.
And there's actually a story behind this. We are Episcopals represent. We are attending a lovely church here in Manassas, Virginia. It's a Trinity Episcopal, and are
full of dystopian writers.
Our dystopian author, no wonder I liked it.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Our dystopian author.
We've talked about that before when we first turned
Stewart.
Up. We were like, there are some churches, believe it or not, I find this weird, that do not like genre writers or writers of the fantastical or anything that's not grounded in reality,
as we like to call them, fun people.
Yes.
And but our church is just way fun, and we got our pistol packing priest Vinny, and then we've got Stuart,
who is our writing dystopian. Shared the booth with him at the railway festival.
Yeah,
so.
And he was talking about how God wants you to get out of your comfort zone. Now, that was how our Sunday began, and then we had a bunch of adventures.
And we had an epic day.
We had an epic day with the boom and Katie, and we were just having a great time just trancing through Virginia.
We went back in time.
Yeah.
We did go back in time.
We did. And I, if I remember correctly, I think we did hear the sound as we were walking through. But we went
to the Frontier.
Frontier Culture Museum in Stanton, Virginia. And then we went along Skyline Drive, and we ended at a wonderful restaurant in Front Royal, Vino 128.
124.
Was it 124?
124.
Okay,
yeah.
124. It was easier if you remember Vino e Formaggio, but that's a different story altogether. But yeah, Vino 124, and ironically, it's run by a guy named Christian. And the way the day ended was with this return back to that theme of our sermon,
which was really cool, actually.
Yeah, I'm just gonna let Katie talk about the coffee we had.
Oh my god, that was coffee.
Yeah, we saw into the future. We saw so far into the future. We saw the past. I mean, it was
Neapolitan style. Apparently. Yeah.
I think I heard that TARDIS sound again.
Yeah,
yes.
And we
But what did Christian say? What did he say? He said something about...
He said at the end, God's not going to ask you if you were a good boy or a bad boy. He said, God's going to ask you one question. Were you afraid?
And then...
And if you were afraid... Did you brave it out?
Did you brave it out?
Yeah, and we were like, wow. It could have been the coffee.
And after we had the Morris and I were pretty into the coffee at that point.
We were like, oh.
But wait, I think we need to explain the coffee.
Yeah, okay, okay. So, yeah, then we'll get to the
this
actual.
This is not just regular coffee.
No, this was like this high-test coffee. Pip didn't have any of it.
I smelt it and I felt high.
And she got high just off the fumes. And there was this goop. That's the only way I can describe it.
It's like a sugary goop. Coffee.
It was like a sugar coffee mixture.
And it was held together by Purist Awesome. It was soaked in the purest of Win.
And had a light dusting of crack.
Yes. And wow.
It was in tiny espresso cups.
Yeah. And then and then we took a glop of this stuff, then in the put that in the tiny espresso cups. Oh. Then we poured in the coffee, which he made in front of us.
Yeah. Yes. And by we he means Christian.
Yeah, Christian.
And then he took the spoon, which was covered in this coffee goop, and he rubbed it around the lip of
the cup.
Yeah,
he rubbed it around the lip. Oh.
So no matter where you drink, you got like a triple shot of this coffee because he had it in the bottom, the goop in the bottom, the actual coffee, and then on the lip.
Yeah,
and it was funny when you were driving home. Do you remember when you said, you know that shot in when the Millennium Falcon goes into hyperdrive? I'm seeing that right now. I was like, okay.
I kept hearing that
Yeah, see, I heard him say that. I was not concerned at the time.
Because
which probably shows how far gone I was.
Yeah, because she herself was going, I'm ready, Moya, ready for Starburst. You know, I mean, oh, whew.
Yeah.
This landing is going to get pretty interesting.
Define interesting.
Oh, God, we're all going to die?
Pretty much, that was what it was.
So really,
drive home.
The way that, yeah, I've never seen anybody that got high off coffee before, but I think...
Freaking scary.
You two were as close as...
Freaking scary. But,
I kept imagining a policeman pulling us over and going, so how many coffees have you had?
Yeah.
How many did Christian give you?
How many did Christian give you? I don't want you to walk the straight, sir. I asked you to walk the straight line, not levitate over it, okay? So, but where this comes back to the theme of the show.
Coffee.
That's Vino 124 in Front Royal. We were talking with Christian about the actual restaurant and... He's even said, I'm so far out of my comfort zone, because now he's got the locals that are coming to the restaurant. And then he's got people, these travel bloggers and these food bloggers that are making their way out of their way
to come see him. Well, that's because he's on in the Shenandoah Valley. His restaurant is up the top there. He's number one in Front Royal and definitely in the top three
and
or four.
That was how we found him.
Yeah.
I mean, that was how we found him. And this is our third trip there. And in 2 weeks, we're going to go back there. And Christian...
You going to drink the coffee?
We're going to... Oh, hell yeah, I'm going to drink the coffee. I'm going to have to go alone, wingman. So, you know, sorry. Sorry.
She's going to go to Walmart and get the coffee that he recommends.
Yes!
Smuggle that over the border.
Yeah, yeah. That would be contraband.
But he was talking about being out of his comfort zone. When he started Vino e Formaggio, when we got there, it was called Vino e Formaggio, and it was him and his wife.
Mm-hmm. Also, he's a lawyer, not a restaurateur.
And she's from IT, and I think he said his chef is a paramedic.
Right.
Which
and
is
a registered
handy.
Nurse, because if you have a heart attack from the coffee, they've got your back.
So you're well covered.
There you go. There you go. And
now they like got four full-time, full
Four full-time, four part-time. He was actually not working the kitchen. He was actually going from table to table, just doing shtick. And, he was great. He was great with the boom. They made a pizza from scratch. Now I'm going to put it to you. When was the last time you saw the boom eat the pizza leftovers?
Yes. It was pretty impressive.
I mean, she just rifled through that. And I mean, I had it cold and it was still seven shades of awesome. So yeah, it was a great time, and this is what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, getting outside of our comfort levels. So let's turn it over to our resident Canuck. So Katie, what about you and your comfort level?
She's outside of her comfort level right now. She's in America.
But what about you? I mean, did you feel like? I mean, what has been the projects that have been pushing you outside of your comfort?
And I've been outside of my comfort zone for at least a year and a half.
How so? Why? What's going on?
Well, first I had this, you know, crazy thought. Imagine if I podcasted Hapix, this book that I have lying in my desk drawer.
Oh, dear. Okay. And?
And I did. And it was really scary even just to approach my actors.
Yeah.
And say, hey, guys, I've got this podcasting thing I was thinking of doing, and I want to jump aboard.
So now, where can we find the Hapix podcast? Is it on Podiobooks or is it on your site? Where is it?
It's on iTunes. All pertinent links can be found on my site, which is www.ktbryski.com. That's KTBRYSKI.com.
Okay, there you go. Okay.
We will post the links, of course.
Yes, we will. So that's good. Okay. And why was this so daunting for you?
It's a massive undertaking, right? To podcast a novel, and also because it's really putting yourself out there. If it's languishing in your desk drawer, you're the only one that sees it.
Yeah.
As soon as you start approaching other people and bringing them in, you're basically asking them to have faith in you and your project. And that can be really scary.
So what made you decide to go do the podcast in the first place?
Seemed like the next logical step.
What are you talking about? This Canadian, she had a plan.
I've got a plan so cunning you could put a tail on it and call it a weasel.
And she did.
She did.
She came up with a stage name.
And now it's Parsec nominated, right?
Yeah, she's got her own stage name.
The player formerly known as Mouse Cop.
So there you go.
Really?
University of Missouri, Columbia.
I just had to get a Mouse Cop.
We got a show with that.
Yeah, we do. Got to introduce you to some Key and Peele. There are some good things about America.
Yeah,
Key and Peele
I found
is one
American
of them.
Comedy I like.
I have seen some Key and Peele.
Oh, like all there right. We go. All right. So what exactly? So once you, now, did you have it already published?
No, that was the fun thing.
So Hapix was not published when you podcasted.
Uh-huh. It's even better than that. So it was partially in production. We'd recorded about half of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I submitted it to Dragon Moon because they had their open call.
Ah.
And then it got picked up, so we're halfway through actually recording it.
Well, luckily Dragon Moon is very pod friendly.
Yes, which is actually why I submitted to them.
Oh, my gosh.
I knew them, right? Because there were you guys, there was PG Holyfield, Scott Sigler, just all the podcasts I'd been listening to. So I knew Dragon Moon. So I had to turn around and tell Dragon Moon, guess what?
But the thing was that Gwen Gades of Dragon Moon Press, that's at dragonmoonpress.com, I still remember when I strayed out of the comfort zone back in the day when I first started doing
back
this.
In my day.
Back in 2005.
When podcasts were run with gerbils.
And two tin cans.
When I was
cans.
In my freshman year of high school.
Yeah. Suck it, Canadian. You earned this one.
I know you mean to be friendly, but I hope you won't take it amiss if I ask you to sod off and die.
I always with the black adder. So anyway, in 05, when you were just a wee barn.
Podcasting was just a twinkle in
in Katie's eye. Gwen, I remember, said to me, I have no idea what you're talking about, T, but go on ahead and do it.
That was the response I got.
What, Gwen still doesn't know what a podcast? Shame on you, Gwen.
No, I'm sure she knows, but it was, oh, you're going to handle it? Okay, have fun.
Yeah, that's kind of the way small press works, you know?
Yeah, that's one of the very nice things.
I mean, the big difference, I would say, between when we worked with Harper Voyager, because a lot of people ask us, oh, wow, if both of you are doing, you know, are doing this book, does that mean you're going to podcast it? And I believe the words of Diana Gill were, oh, hell no. But
they did let us do the Tales from the Archives.
They let us do the Parsec winning
yes.
Tales from the Archives. Woo. Represent. And I mean, and see, to us, that really wasn't, I wouldn't say that was necessarily, you know, straying out of our comfort levels.
I think at that stage, we were a little burnt out on doing full cast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Audio drama. And we were like, you know what? Short story sounds very nice.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Massive undertaking.
Yes. And short stories, at least there, you can get the fun, but you're done.
And on top of that, when you've got the other authors reading their own stuff and then sending you, you know, work your magic, that's a lot easier to deal with.
Yeah.
But I would say, and this brings us back to, I now see how you were trying to segue me into this. For me, I have now strayed way out of my comfort level. Because the thing about being a professional writer, particularly when you are in between jobs, is that when someone says, hey, T, do you have an offer? We have an offer here. Do you think you could do this? Is you sometimes lie and say, sure, I know these characters. I'll go on ahead and do it. So I went on ahead and said that to my editor, my agent, not thinking twice about it.
Well, that's what research is for.
Yeah, that's what research is for.
I have a good policy, say yes and yes. Figure it out later.
Yeah. Exactly. This is when I wish I had the drop in. If someone asks if you are a god, you say yes, you know, because that was what I did. Not thinking twice about it until the agent came back to me and said, hey, T, you got the gig. So what is this gig that is straying me out of the comfort zone? So Amazon has just started this thing called Shared Worlds. And they are basically getting a whole lot of properties together, mm-hmm. and they are having people do. They've opened it up for fanfic, but they're also hiring.
I think they're getting they're getting a base of professionals as well, and then they're gonna open it up for other people.
And that's kind of how it's worked out. And I was asked to take on three properties. I'm gonna be writing about two. And then there's a third one that's kind of bleeding into one of the other properties. It's Valiant Comics, so you can go ahead and look them up on Comixology, my new favorite app. Wow. If you are into comic books, good gravy. Comixology has completely changed the way I look at comics. I totally love it. Absolutely fantastic. So it's Comixology, and I am I'm writing in tie-ins for Valiant Comics' recent reboots of Bloodshot, Harbinger, and XO Man of War. Now, what's really pushing me out of the comfort zone is that this is the first time I've done a tie-in mm-hmm. with property that isn't mine. And what they're wanting is and I know we talked about this with, ironically, we talked about this with your nemesis. We talked about this with PC Harry.
Ah, yes.
In one of the early... Oh, yes.
Kiss.
Oh, him.
Ah, yes. Herring.
Mr. Herring.
Mr.
Well, I've been stroking the cat.
She's petting an invisible Viola. You need Viola here. I will be your evil cat. I will.
Awesome.
Yeah, we were talking about how he was now writing in our shared worlds. Now, I'm in a shared world, and I'm like, oh, I see why Paul was so flipped out about this, because we're given the world, and I'm told to write, this is all they're telling me, write vignettes.
Yeah.
Write us 50,000 words between Bloodshot and Harbinger and Exo Manowar till July 31st. So I'm calling it Timo NaNoWriMo, T. Morris's National Novel Writing Month, because in July that's what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be doing it across. Well,
it's a good thing that you're free to do that.
Yeah.
Because if you were trying to do that and have a full time job, it'd be tough.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is, I won't get paid for it until August. So yeah. Hopefully, we won't be living in a shoebox by then. You know. But what's really interesting about this is that I'm now. So what I've done is I've pretty much gone through Comixology and I've completely boned up. On two of these three series. I'm going to write a couple of series, write a couple of shorts for Harbinger, and then move on to XO Manowar, get boned up on that, and then try to crank those suckers out. But what's interesting is that I'm really digging the first short story. I mean, I sat down and wham, 2,100 words. And for me, that's
good, because you need to be doing that.
Yeah, I need
day.
To be doing it on a daily good. Basis. But I mean, for you know, when you got 2,100, whoa, when you got 2,100 words, you know, in that short span of time, you know, I'm like, okay, that's a good day at the office, and I still want to write more, but would you stop
trying to use the force?
Don't use the force on my mic. That is rude. Anyone's ever told you that's rude? But it's really weird because I'm like, okay, I'm enjoying this story. I'm enjoying this angle that I'm taking, this gap that I'm filling in the Harbinger Bloodshot crossover, but. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I like it. What matters is, do the people at Amazon and do the people at Valiant like it?
Yeah.
You know? And
this is a very new sort of market thing that they're doing.
And
so...
I'm still kind of, I feel like it's, I feel like I'm going in blind, which is another thing.
Mm.
Because they're talking about print rights, they're talking about, and I'm like, but this isn't going in print. Right? And I mean...
Well, they're covering themselves just in case later on they decide to go into print.
Yeah, because you never know.
Yeah, right? Amazon... So Amazon is also stepping outside its comfort zones, but the difference is Amazon has deep pockets, so they can afford to
zone. They can really do that.
Yeah.
And...
But hey, it's a cool gig. I mean...
It's great. I mean, I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed getting back. I mean, I used to love comics, and it's one of many reasons. Oh yeah, which by the way, the first person I called when I was like, okay, I've got this gig, I need to make sure that I don't go stumbling into the dark. I need someone to guide me. Who did I call? Planet X himself, Jared effing Axelrod. And I've always been envious. I mean, if not envious, I'm not intimidated by his knowledge of comic books. He's got this, he had a podcast he did for a while called Jared and Steve Love Comics.
Yeah.
And I think you can find links on that on Fables of the Flying City. Mm-hmm. Which Jared wrote for and Steve inked.
Yeah.
And
is it
in here somewhere? But it's by Tor. And I mean, like, I look over where my comic collection is, and I mean, it's a modest collection. It doesn't even take up a whole shelf. Oh yeah, there it is, right there at the very top. It's sitting. If you look where the Ancestors sitting, that's the original copy of Ancestor. Thank you very much. two copies up, you'll see there's Fables of the Flying City or the Battle of Blood and Ink. And I mean, I'm looking at it here, and I've got Arkham Asylum. I've got Compendium of Witchblade. I've got V for Vendetta, and I have Ghost in the Shell manga. I've got some of the Blackest Night. The one that I'm really proudest of, though, is the one called M. It is a graphic novelization of the Fritz Lang
Metropolis.
No. Of a movie he did called M. And it stars a young, fresh, new German actor in the film, named Peter Lorre.
Oh.
And this was one of the
I didn't know you were around then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't have anything good.
Yeah, you got no zinger for that one.
I got no zinger, except for this.
This is the worst moment of my entire life.
Ganged up by women, the thing you got to know about the hook for this film M was that sound had just been introduced. Don't give me that look, Ballantyne. You're looking at me like he's going again. He's going again. How many times did I try to sit you down and say, hey, we're doing a shared destiny? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then like, so you know what? If I'm going off on a tangent, I'm going off on a tangent.
Have I got your attention now?
So let's talk about the movie M, and then we'll get back to the topic of the show.
So Katie and I will go get some ice cream.
Go right ahead. So anyway.
Do you have a milkshake maker or something?
Yeah. Like to see you two work it. That would be funny to watch. Yeah.
Note to self. Need to order more henchmen. Odd ones this time.
So
I thought you were my henchman.
No, I don't think so. So M, the gimmick was that sound had just been introduced in the movies. And what Fritz Lang did was he made it that whenever it's about a serial killer. And whenever the serial killer was sneaking up on somebody, he would start to whistle in the Hall of the Mountain King from Peter Gynt. And it was the whenever you heard, when I was watching this with a room full of students at JMU.
Isn't that it?
No.
No.
Oh, that? How was that scary?
When you see it, and it's a young, fresh-faced Peter Lorre, wow, it gets creepy. And the thing was, when it happened,
how does that translate into a comic book, though?
That was the best part of it. In the graphic novel, he would do panels of the killer, of a child, of a balloon that the child was carrying, and across the panels he would put the music from In the Hall of the Mountain King going across it. It's a brilliant, and it's beautifully inked, great, great thing. So I've always loved comics, but then you go to Jared Axelrod.
You know nothing.
It's like It's like going to the freaking Batcave of comic books.
Come in.
You know, and you see it.
Come in, young Padawan.
Yeah, and I'm like, wow, I am at the feet of the master. And he told me which comics to buy, and I started there, and it has been an absolute joy getting back into comics. And for those people who do not know Valiant Comics, this is definitely a brand to watch, because I really like the stuff they're doing with Bloodshot, with Harbinger, and I got Exo Manowar waiting for me. And it's been I'm so far out of my comfort zone I can barely see straight. I still blame that coffee from last night, but
we should get some more of it.
But what about you, Katie? Yes. How do you feel being out of the comfort zone, particularly because now you just finished a prequel?
Yeah, that was fun.
Which is kind of a four letter word after George Lucas got his hooks on a prequel.
Have you ever done a prequel?
I've never seen the point. For me, prequels are like prologues. To me, prequels are like, why are you telling us?
Thanks.
Feel free to shank him. I don't care.
Wow. I'm going to be changing my name very soon.
Donkey Teeth. Boise State University.
Yeah.
However, haven't you written prologues in books?
Hell yeah.
So really, don't listen to him, Katie.
The difference between a prologue and a prequel. A prequel is a novel version of a prologue, and if done wrong and done painfully, we change your name to George Lucas. So why did you take on this task?
She's never coming back now.
Come on, the cats are gonna bring her back.
Okay,
come on,
that's true.
So why did you, I mean, what possessed
reasons.
You?
One of my first conversations with Gabrielle Harbouy, my editor at Dragon Moon, she asked if I thought I could do a sequel. But see, Hapix is an apocalyptic fantasy, so I destroyed the world pretty good.
So the sequel is a floating cinder in space.
Oh, man.
So there was really nowhere to go after the end of Hapix, and I realized I'd actually come in halfway through the story.
Ah.
The main thing.
Interesting.
So taken together, they are a full story. It's kind of the salvation cycle of this whole universe.
Ah.
It was more, I came in at act two. There was a whole first act. I didn't touch.
Well, there you go. There you go. And then, so now that you're out of the comfort zone, how do you feel about it? I mean, what have you feel like you've grown from it? What has been going out of the comfort zone done for you?
I can't think of a time when going out of the comfort zone turned out to be a bad thing, actually.
Okay.
I think
are there examples you can list?
Well, I'm sitting here in the studio right now.
So that worked out pretty well.
No, but seriously, like, I know doing Hapix as a podcast, I made a lot of contacts. I strengthened some of just my friendships back home. I know I grew as a person, new skills, confidence, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I had a similar, sure, I could do that moment when I got asked to write the libretto for a children's opera. I was like, why not? Sure, I can write libretti.
It's got words.
It's the words, not the music. Okay, totally. We can work on
this.
Me and words, we're really close.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So, and what about you, Ballantyne? I mean, I don't hear you.
I don't know. I moved out into another country.
Yeah, how'd that work?
I'm still trying to figure it out.
You know, I'm just going to segue from there.
Eagle versus Kiwi.
God, that kiwi sounds like it's
going to
kill.
Versus beaver.
Sorry. I'm just,
this is a special edition.
It's making me very uncomfortable because I got two women here and it's evil versus kiwi versus beaver. And then you got little Katie going, nah, 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 with doing the sharp pointy teeth thing. And I'm just like.
In my defense, we almost made the national symbol of Canada a polar bear.
But
we are Canadian, so we went with the giant rodent.
With the flat tail and the,
hey, there
and
was
the
a
innuendo.
There was
go.
A beaver that killed somebody nearby in Virginia.
That's what she
really?
Said. That's what she said.
Seriously.
Actually, that's what he said.
There was somebody swimming and a beaver
attacked
him.
I have lost count how many beaver have almost killed me, okay? So let's... Jeez.
Were you swimming at the time?
Have I got your attention now?
Wow. Where did we lose control of this?
I'm serious. No, look it up.
Okay, let's... So let's focus on this eagle versus kiwi.
Versus beaver.
What's your beef, you two? What are you ganging up on America about?
America doesn't stand a chance. Oh, I spoke American. Chance. Oh my gosh, it's getting to me.
No.
So this is one of my mysterious things about America. So you take sweet potatoes, right?
Which are sweet.
Which are sweet. And then you put marshmallows on them.
All right. All right. Now, ladies.
So like a little bit of brown sugar, I understand. That's okay sometimes, but.
Marshmallows. Load them up with marshmallows.
Those are a dessert food.
Yes. What are they doing on there?
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Let me tell you something, ladies. Let me tell you something. There are some things in the South, as Paula Deen can tell you. Particularly when it comes to, you know.
There goes the end of your argument. As soon as you. That's like using
Nazis.
I was going to say something
completely inappropriate, but I think Paula Deen has already beat me to it. There are certain institutions in the Deep South.
I'm sure Paula Deen does think there are certain institutions in the Deep South.
Oh, man.
Maybe you want to back that argument up.
This is the worst moment of my entire life.
Right, so...
Don't use Paula Dean.
I'll try not to.
Okay. Take it back.
There are certain institutions, not endorsed by Paula Dean, that you just do not mess with when you get into the Deep South. And Virginia is kind of that border. The further south you get in Virginia.
It's more marshmallows?
You know, because let me tell you something. The marshmallows that they put on their sweet potatoes in like the Deep South, there's those honker jumbo-sized marshmallows. But the point I'm getting at, the institutions you do not mess with are sweet potatoes, sweet tea, and pecan pie.
So I'm getting the theory is that it's all got to be sweet.
Yes.
Everything's sweet.
And I tell you why. The reason why it just gets progressively sweeter and sweeter the further south you get, the heat and humidity sap you dry. You are exhausted. Tell me there haven't been days that you've woken up and you're just like, I'm hungover and I didn't have a drop of alcohol. It's because you didn't have enough sugar in your diets.
He says to the girl from the land of maple syrup.
Yeah.
Your maple syrup is weak, woman, compared to the one we make it with rye down here, okay?
So by the time you get to the Mississippi area, it's sweet potatoes on your marshmallows.
Look.
light spread.
You know, I'm not really digging the vibe out of you. You know, you and Paula Dean.
These are some racist motherfucking zombies.
I mean.
What the hell? Oh, that was a key and peel.
That was a key and peel.
She should go on that show.
She really
be,
should.
She should go on key and peel.
Nah, I would pay money for that. all right, so.
But I'm just wondering when the sweet potatoes, you know, is the marshmallows going to slide
across
the sugar.
The steak? We need the sugar in the South. Otherwise, we all have to take a nappy poo around 2 to 3 o'clock, okay?
Hey, it's good enough for the Spanish. That's what they do.
Yeah,
take a nappy poo.
Well, no, the difference is the Spanish don't have the humidity that we have in here in the South. I mean, they built the nation's capital.
I want to see the scientific evidence that the sweet potatoes are protecting you from nappy poos.
It is a national institution.
Can
along...
you just use the insane coffee from Vienna 124?
That's right. That will keep you awake.
The problem is Christian can't make enough coffee for everybody.
And you learned to make your own damn coffee.
I know, but I mean, come on. Think about all the. Think
too
about
busy
how long
drinking the sweet tea.
Think about how long it took us. Think about how long it took us to get that coffee. It was worth it. It was worth it. But the further south you get, the more impatient people get. That's why they just
so how long does it take to make a sweet potato and marshmallows on it then?
Seriously, the best part is when you take the sweet potato and then you put the marshmallow on top of it. It melts and sweetens all at the same time. It is a delicacy. It is a delicacy. A southern
like
delicacy. Not like grits. Grits is crap.
Maybe if you put some sweet potato and marshmallows on it, it'd be acceptable.
You're channeling your inner Paula Dean. I want you to be.
Wash it down with some sweet tea where the spoon stands up.
No, wash down with just liquid butter.
Oh, dear.
That's how Dad did it. That's how America does it. And it's worked out pretty well so far.
I don't know why you guys are... I bet you anything a Tim Hortons serves sweet potatoes with marshmallows. I bet you anything you could go into a Tim Hortons. Yeah, you're surprised I know a Tim Hortons, don't you? You're surprised that the Southern boy knows Tim Hortons.
I'm just wondering, do you know what they sell?
A Tim Hortons?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like... Well, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, a Stuckey's or it's like a Denny's or something like that, right?
It's mostly coffee and donuts.
Well, there you go.
Coffee
you
and
go.
Donuts.
See, coffee and donuts is part of
international.
Yeah.
Coffee and donuts.
Yeah. I mean, coffee and donuts.
But there's no sweet potatoes there, I don't think.
They need sweet potatoes with marshmallows with crumbled donut on top of it. Come on. I mean, this is...
And back bacon.
And back bacon. Oh, yeah. Egg. Topped with back bacon. Mm-mm. That's some good eatings, I'm here to tell you.
I don't think he made it out alive with that one.
I don't.
I think the kiwi and the beaver ate you.
You can ask the Commonwealth countries. Hey, we got the cute little inoffensive kiwi and the cute little inoffensive beaver going up against the big mighty eagle.
We had control over this podcast once.
The eagle has to sleep at some stage.
3 months ago.
What was that? Did you see that? Was that the primary buffer panel?
That's kind of how I feel right now.
I'm just thinking that the eagle, if he's in the water, obviously the beaver's going to take him, and then the beaver, and then the
all
eagle
has
to sleep.
All I know is we got on this Paula Deen theme. Please direct all of your comments towards me and how racist I am at tmorris.com.
Sweet potatoes.
First show back. Wow. Okay.
Yes.
So
there go the statistics. Woo-hoo! Or maybe they go up. I don't know.
Who knows? I mean, hey, if they go up, then you know what? We're getting Paula Deen on the show next.
Well, she's got to have somewhere to go.
For the record,
she got kicked off the food.
For the record, I was not as. I mentioned this on Delilah S. Dawson's Facebook page. And by the way, Delilah S. Dawson appearing in the Ministry Protocol. You can find out more about Delilah at DelilahSDawson.com. anyway, so. What I was going to say was that I mentioned this on her Facebook page, that I was more offended by the fact that she's pushing all these god-awful recipes soaked in butter and lard and marshmallows. And then it comes out, oh yeah, I've had diabetes, type 2 diabetes.
For 3 years.
For 3 years. Have some more lard. I mean, wow. Oh, and wash it down with a cup of buttermilk. I mean, yeah.
How do we get onto here?
I don't know. I don't.
Let's get off.
I'd rather get off her. Sorry, I just threw up in my mouth a bit. All right, so Katie, where are you headed after this? Apart from Canada,
I was gonna say, I'm going home. I hope.
Please leave our cat behind.
If Viola lets you,
you're not going anywhere, Canadian. You are mine.
You might just pay. If Viola had her druthers, it'd be you going to Canada, Katie would be staying here.
Or Katie would be just closing her suitcase, and she would see a pair of golden eyes looking back at her, going, "Just close it."
I'm going to have to check my suitcase very thoroughly before I go. I have a job and stuff, so I will do that.
Tell us about that. Well, this is why you enjoy the Frontier Culture Museum so much.
Yes,
yeah, tell us about your job.
I work at a living history museum in Toronto.
And what do you do at this museum?
I dress up in 19th century costume, full hoop skirt and everything, and I talk about beer. And I give people beer.
Are they hiring? I will wear said hoop skirt proudly. If I can talk about beer.
He could be the bearded lady. They had the...
I could be the bearded beaver, if you like. I mean...
As long as you need a beer.
Yeah. And so that's what you do. Give us some of the shtick. I mean, was it historically accurate that the women were the brewmasters back then?
Well, I'm not the brewmaster. I'm just the beer slinger.
She's
I'm
the beer wench. She's the wench. That's so
She's the beer whisperer.
No, our beer is really cool, though, and I'll just take this opportunity to plug it. Black Creek Historic Breweries, which I think you can find blackcreek.ca. All pertinent links should be there.
And
yeah,
you get growlers, right?
Yes, we do the 2-liter growlers. Which,
that's liters.
Yeah.
Which everybody in the world except
America uses. Which I don't know what that is in American, but
it's a jug.
It's a big old jug
it's
of beer.
A big old jug.
But our beer is cool because we brew
top
it.
Top with marshmallows.
We're Canadian.
None
top
of that.
And back bacon. So anyway.
So we brew it 19th century style, so no electricity, all done by hand. So it's unfiltered, unpasteurized, and naturally carbonated.
Ooh.
That's awesome.
So it tastes really good because we're not filtering out all the yeast sediments and all the minerals and stuff that are in there. We brew ales as opposed to lagers, so we like to serve them at cellar temperature, as all true English ales should be served.
Room temperature.
Road trip. Sounds great. And how long have you been working there at Black Creek?
This is my third year there. I've been in various capacities in my time there. So I started as a summer student running around as Peter Pan, because that's historically accurate.
You know, and if you had some of Christian's coffee from Vino 124, you could have flied.
I flew over the wall.
Katie,
so then they put
Katie,
a hoop skirt.
Katie, your shadow is attached. I swear to God, your shadow is attached. No, I've got to sew my shadow back on.
Katie, it's not pixie dust.
That ain't pixie dust you're snorting there, Katie.
That's pure caffeine.
Now the working title of Hapax's prequel is
Strix.
What's next for you writing wise? Are you going to be appearing anywhere? Or is there going to be a book signing? Is there going
to
be
I'm going to Dragon Con?
Hey now,
yes, hey.
We will see you then at Dragon Con.
Other than that, still working on my children's opera.
And the children's opera.
I'd like to get paid for that eventually.
Pay me my money. I hear you.
Have another fantasy novel that I was going to start writing, which was kind of going to be dark fantasy, quasi-steampunk, set in kind of a Victorian milieu. But since I've been here, this random idea I've had percolating in the back of my mind has kind of burst into bloom. And talk about leaving your comfort zone. Middle grade, light summer romp, no fantasy, no science fiction elements. And I'm kind of looking at this going, I don't know what to do.
Oh, wow.
So write it.
Yeah, just write it.
Write it, yeah. Get it out.
sort of a Diary of a Wimpy Kid, How to Eat Fried Worms kind of book or something like that?
Set in a day camp.
You need to hook up with the Boom. She will give you all of her wacky stories from Camp Stratemann.
She'll
show you the videos of little girls randomly dropping their trousers and
dancing.
And dancing and kissing brooms.
Sounds wonderful.
Broom kissing is big.
Yeah.
With the tween.
The boom went to a summer camp called Camp Stratemann, and the video she came back, the only way I can describe it is the Blair Witch Project meets Bridesmaids. Girls behaving badly, and it's all caught on a very shaky camera. what about you, Pip? Where are we headed next? You're kind of become our travel manager. This weekend we're heading to
North Carolina, Raleigh. We're going to Contemporary.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm just hit a brain freeze.
Wow, that was epic.
I'm working on
Ladies and gentlemen, Gulia Yelps.
Thank you. And I'm working on a three-chapter synopsis of it's a sprawling epic with gods and monsters stitched together like Frankenstein. Warring theocracies and strange creatures with tentacles.
There you go.
Mine's still
percolating. Everything's better with tentacles. And then we've got, of course, in July, we're going to probably give dates and details later. July, we're going to be at the Yorktown Public Library. I believe it is Yorktown Public Library. And we're going to be doing a talk on steampunk. And then that's our only thing in July.
Yeah.
That is our only thing in July. Which is good because
you're going to be writing.
I'm going to be writing like the wind, I pray. I've got that project going on. I've got a synopsis that I would also like to finish. And then in August, things blow up again. In August, we have two events. We have Dragon Con. In reverse order, we have Dragon Con. In Atlanta, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
And right before that, in Savannah, Georgia,
we'll be heading to
Authors After Dark. If everything works out, we will be at Authors After Dark.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of finances and little things like that. And I believe that's it.
Yeah, we have got a few more conventions coming up.
Oh, and you've got a couple more releases coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's you.
You might want to talk about
that. You've got books and stuff, Valentine.
You know this thing called books?
My brain is so fried.
You're a mess.
I needed some of that coffee.
Absolutely mess.
Well, the end of July is the release of Harbinger. There's, in Germany, the first book of the Order, which they call The Cursed Prince. They didn't go with the guy's title. That's coming out in August. Kindred and Wings is coming out 2 weeks after Harbinger in early August. And that's it.
And then if everything works out, if everything works out editorially, cover art-wise, interior art-wise, and everything, we should be seeing by maybe August.
It should be for Dragon Con.
Maybe for Dragon Con. We might roll it out by Dragon Con. Ministry Protocol, Thrilling Tales of the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences.
With the delicious artwork of Alex White.
God, it looks great. It looks great.
I want to put it on everything.
There's this one thing that
I'm looking at. I want to put it on belt buckles.
I do. Is that why you had belt buckles up there?
I want Alex White belt buckles. I don't know why.
Wow. And you complain. Wow, Miss Trailer Trash, and you complain about Marsh. I swear, if you get an Alex White belt buckle, you're gonna be slathering your next sweet potatoes in marshmallows. You watch it. I already got you drinking out of a mason jar.
That's true.
So there you go. So let's talk a little bit about that real quick. I mean, who are the people that we got involved? We got Corinna Cooper because she was a stretch goal.
Yes.
Jared Axelrod, J.R. Blackwell, Jack Mangan, Delilah S. Dawson, Leanna Renee Heber, you, me, Alex White. He's
Pete Woodworth.
Pete Woodworth.
Who's also doing the villain supplement.
Yeah, who's doing the villain supplement. And
which is a stretch goal.
We were also very excited to be introducing Lauren Harris, who turned in a story that she said...
Oh,
she
and Dan Rabbits from New Zealand.
And Dan Rabbits from New Zealand. And I think that covers it. Did we get everybody?
I hope we got everyone.
If we didn't get you, don't worry. We'll get you in the next episode. But the thing is, the thing about Lauren's story is we liked it so much, we said, we don't want to do this for season 3 of Tales from the Archives. We want to do this for the anthology. And yeah, and it is. All the story. I mean, there's not, if you were to say pick one, I couldn't.
They're all pretty tight.
I couldn't. They're all tight. And what was really nice too was seeing how much people were enjoying writing in the universe. That was also very cool. So yeah.
So a few things going on.
A few things going on.
Quiet summer for you guys, eh?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a great way to say...
If only we had some sweet potatoes with marshmallows on it, we could get through it.
Yum, yum. And as always, the Share Desk is a share-like, non-commercial, no derivative... Yes, I'm reading it off of a piece of paper because it's been too long. Share-like, non-commercial, no derivative, 3.0 United States. That's U.S. of A, Canada. United
America.
States license.
America.
Yeah.
License.
America.
And license.
So thanks, everybody. Enjoy the ride.
Hope to see you soon.
Hey.